good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see you down here again. Lieutenant Governor, as you see, has joined with the negotiations and just had a productive hour. One of the things that's changed is just to kind of bring new voices in. We invited the minority leaders in the Senate, Senator Lopez Franzen and Representative New Brindley, to bring in the perspectives to make sure that a lot more voices are heard. Again, the real discussion that we're having is the state of Minnesota is in solid financial position. We are in a position where we can, in our belief, do a lot of good things that are be able to be done in a bipartisan manner. The discussions right now are focusing on the refilling the unemployment insurance trust fund and keeping our promise and pledge where we passed last year, frontline worker support for those that were put into the most precarious and in many cases dangerous situations so that the rest of us could get through the worst part of the COVID pandemic. And so those negotiations are continuing on. The positions are laid out pretty clearly. It has been our position that both of these things are good for Minnesota, that both of these things could be done. Both of them are not only keeping our promises, keeping our pledge, making sure taxes don't go up on businesses, but they're fiscally sound decisions too. And again, at a time when Minnesotans need some money in their pocket, these frontline worker pay are going to work as a stimulus, because I think many of us are watching flashing yellow on the global economic front, from the Ukraine to the situation in China and southern China with COVID. So that's where we're at. Both of the groups are, the Senate and the House are going to go back. They're going to bring their subject matter experts, as are we, from the Commissioner of Labor and Industry and the Commissioner of Deed, to try and see if there's a subject matter expert compromise amongst kind of the three sides of this to get this worked out. And that's where we left it. Hopefully they're gonna meet either sometime today or tomorrow, and then we left it open that we could meet again tomorrow. I know there's some disagreement around the date of the 15th. We are simply operating on how businesses function. They will start paying the increases as they prepare for their April 30th deadline in their first quarter tax payments on UI, and many of those will start preparing and doing that tomorrow, and that's where that number came from. We certainly can unwind that, but like so many things around here, we need deadlines. We need to know that you just at some point in time need to make a decision. May not be 100% accepted, it may not be the 100% exactly what you wanted, but it's a decision that works for people in Minnesota to move forward. And with that, Lieutenant Governor spent some time yesterday down in Worthington with a group of frontline workers, and those stories I think she told in there make a difference. These are folks that were asked to go back into meat processing facilities at a time when that was, including healthcare workers, the most dangerous position, where PPE was in short supply, there were no vaccines, and we saw this across the country, that we saw horrific rates of illness and death in these facilities, and those folks were asked to make sure they could process the food that the rest of us ate. We just think it makes sense that we agreed, we voted on it, I signed it last May to get that money out to them. So with that, I think we'd take any questions.
Do you have agreement on amounts of money, because the House has not been willing to refill the account, so you're still not even have a dollar amount agreed to?
The House has put out proposals, and they put out 1.2, I believe it is, to get us back to the even point on this, and then they've asked for the frontline workers. The Senate is 2.7, but the Senate has not made an offer above zero on the frontline worker, so there has not been any movement. The House did make a movement. It's not the 2.7 that our administration supports and believes should be done, or where the Senate's at, but those are where the numbers were out. It was my point today that this seems to me that the discussion is between 1.2 billion and 2.7 billion for UI trust fund and 0 to 1 billion on frontline workers. Find somewhere in between there.
Between 250 million and 1 billion?
The Senate is now not saying that, so they have moved back down that they don't see that as an option. I made that point that we should start at that as a given point. That was not conceded. So, but either way, we have parameters, and the way negotiations work is to go somewhere in between there. Now, some of those are going to be stronger held beliefs. I have made clear on this, we believe the number on UI is the 2.72, because that avoids all penalties, all interest, replenishes the fund. And again, as I remind folks, that fund provided incredible support and stop folks from either losing their homes or not being able to eat or some of the other essentials. And it needs to be there if this happens again. As we said, there are some global indicators that are not so positive around economic things. We need to be prepared if that happens.
The March 15th deadline is we're gonna pass that for the UI Trust Fund. I'm wondering if you've had any conversations with Steve Grove or Dean today about, okay, so March 15th comes, we don't have this, we don't know when it will happen. What, if anything, that they're doing to try to mitigate some of those challenges they said that would come with the way that this structure of payments.
Yeah, we're preparing. It's not a huge agency. This is a huge program. They have managed it well, but it's hard. Other states have had a lot of problems with this, and I know this is hard. We have been working for quite some time now, and I've been asking them, prepare for a plan. If we have to unwind this, what would that look like? They have indicated that they can do it, but it'll be difficult. I don't believe it's something that, again, we did this with PPP loans, and I wish we wouldn't have too, is once you blow by these deadlines, it ends up costing more and taking more. And I think, again, folks are out there, and I just want to be clear, there's been some that have suggested, well, just tell those businesses to wait. You know, it's my experience, I would not wait on the legislature to get something done that there'd be a guarantee by the 30th of April. And I'm certainly going to tell someone not to, because remember, they pay a penalty if they don't pay on time. So these businesses are operated in good faith. They paid into the trust fund with an expectation, again, that the money was given by the federal government to replenish that trust fund. Go ahead.
Does it seem like the Senate's moved down from frontline worker bonuses and just won't budge at this point?
Well, I don't want to stop the negotiations, but that has been the point right now. I think it's the Senate, if I could, you know, and they will tell you if I characterize this wrong, they're looking more front-leaning. They're saying, you know, permanent tax cuts, put money in their pockets and all of that. I made the case today that I think we're looking at two different things. We're dealing with this federal money that came to deal with COVID. The frontline worker piece and the UI are COVID-related issues. We can have a broader discussion on the roughly $7 billion that will be left to have a fair, good, healthy political discussion about investments, one-time payments, tax cuts, or whatever. We're making the case, let's deal with the work that's at hand. It feels a little bit like, you know, we're done with COVID, which Senate Republicans have been done with COVID for about 2 years, that they've just moved on. And the fact is, we're gonna need a little of that money to deal with COVID going forward too, but then to take it and use. And I have made the case, we should use this money for frontline workers and the UI Trust Fund. Well, that was my point, that there has to be. Again, you know how this works. You can be totally right and you can stand, but that's not how democracy works. So when you have divided government like this, there's going to have to be a compromise. You can believe, and again, I'm not, maybe you are 100% correct, but if you can't get the agreement from the House, the Senate, and get it to our desk to get signed, it doesn't get there. My point being is, seems like the end state's pretty simple here. Let's get some money that we promised, pledged, voted on, and signed into the hands of those workers, and let's replenish the UI Trust Fund. And then let's have a really great problem to have, $7 billion left to decide on some of these other ideological things. I don't want them to confuse and draw in those other things, because we're now getting into the point where, why don't we have the discussion on taxes before we do any of this? Well, it'll never get done.
Governor, do you run the risk of using up all the negotiating gas on this issue, and the April and May issues don't get the time or attention they
Well, that's my point. That's what I've said too. We've got other important things to do. We need to make investments in education. We propose really good policies around education, which we know can have long-term impacts, positive impacts, and we're sitting here on two things. Again, I think the public, again, my read on it is the public sees this as a pretty easy compromise. Do the UI and do the frontline workers like you agreed to and signed last year, reach a number in between there, and then move on. So yeah, there is a worry. I mean, this, we've been saying that it was the 15th for quite some time. We've been in session, but you know how this works. I'm still waiting for last September's COVID maneuvers on some of the regulations to help us with, at that time I was talking about the November, December Delta surge. We're still debating that, and we're almost April. So I worry about that. A couple more.
I was going to ask if reinsurance came up.
It did not.
Okay. Do you have a position on reinsurance? It wasn't in your first budget, but you've got a supplemental coming out this week.
Yeah,
I understand.
Well, I'm not a fan of reinsurance in that it's expensive. I also am a realist and understand that it helps maintain prices for folks. We think we've had a better idea for 3 years, but again, I don't control the Senate. They have their own mind. We think that a public buy-in both saves more money, covers people better, and is better insurance. They disagree with that. So we know that the time is coming where we have to deal with this reinsurance piece. I will note that in part of the negotiations last year on reinsurance, frontline workers were part of that agreement. So we got reinsurance last year, and one of the things that was in that was this now supposedly unfulfilled promise to frontline workers. So we're going to have to talk about it.
Sorry, I just want to ask you about the Minneapolis teacher strike quickly, because there's conversation about using the surplus potentially for that. Do you support using that money to address the situation?
Here's what I support. I support fully funding our schools. It's why I put forward the and we passed and signed this administration the largest budget in 15 years last year. We know that COVID has been horrific on students, it has been horrific on families, it has been horrific on teachers and educational support professionals. We have an opportunity to fully invest in that, to allow these schools then to make sure, again, educational support professionals who are providing one-on-one care with some of our most vulnerable students and special needs students getting $12 an hour. They can get paid a living wage so that those professionals stay in the building. The budget that we have right now would allow them to do that, which I do believe would take the pressure off folks who are aligned in their commitment to doing the best for our students, the best for our families, and having the best professionals. So yes, we think it's the right way to go.
Governor, could you please repeat what you said about the next step and subject experts meeting?
Yeah. So we've asked that, and again, I appreciate the House and the Senate on this, and this is kind of, I would consider it a small, good, positive breakthrough step. They're going to go back and have the subject matter leads, the majority and the minorities in the House and in the Senate, along with our commissioners of labor and industry, indeed, meet together and see if there's something here to work out. Because basically what you've got is the three sides originally were deadlocked, and then we brought in the minorities leaders on each side. All of us were still deadlocked on this, the five sides on this. And the answer was, would it hurt to bring in the subject matter experts to see what is palatable in each of these areas to see if they can work out? There's no guarantee if they'll get any further, but I keep making the case, this is what democracy is. And again, if we retreat to our corners and say, this is my position, I'm 100% right, and I'm not gonna give, then the outcome is pretty well clear to everyone, nothing will happen. And in that case, workers won't get their money that they were promised, and businesses will see a tax increase. So that's what they're back doing right now. My hope is that happens today yet, that they're able to meet. And then we've asked if we could come back tomorrow and try and get this done on the 15th.
Quick question. It's a smaller amount of money, but drought relief has been sort of caught up in a couple of issues over in the House. They want to pair it with some money for DNR that I know your agency has proposed over in the Senate. They've added some stuff related to like deer farming and things like that. Seems like it's been moving slower than maybe you had wanted or anticipated. Have you talked about that at all?
And I don't want to be, both of us are legislators, so I don't want to be in the pejorative state that this is healthy. Things are not supposed to move fast to help us weed out and think about these things. We all understand that. But we had a once in a 50-year drought. We had very specific needs, especially for livestock producers. They, being the producers and the end state, along with our commissioners and experts in this, put together a nice tight proposal that would have helped them by buying feed, by able to keep their herd in place without having to sell. And we needed that really last August is when they were starting to make some decisions. But here we are still debating this, and here we are still adding more things to it. I would say I think most of these proposals are pretty good, but just take this down to the basic minimum that we need to do to get out to those producers, pass that piece of legislation, let's sign it, and let's move on. Now think about this, we're talking somewhere in the neighborhood of between $10 and $12 million in these proposals out of a $10.4 billion surplus at a time of a 50-year drought. This is, once again, at some point in time, you just need to make a decision. It might not be 100% everything you wanted. It might not even be 100% right, but it's been thought through. It's been agreed to together the best we can and move these forward. I really think we're in this position where deadlines don't matter. We talk about special sessions. We have a responsibility to get our work done. We have a unique position of being one of only a few divided legislatures. So I think it's important to get some wins, and I think the point being made earlier is that you spend a lot of time early on, that there's a certain amount of capital that you can use in these negotiations, and it becomes harder because it's built on trust. And we've done that in the past. I just want to note that for 3 years in a row, we have been able to collectively come together and pass budgets and things that got done that put Minnesota in a strong financial pace, got our credit rating up to, you know, 3-star credit ratings, and continued to move forward. That's what we need to do here. We need folks to step up and say, this is where we'll give, this is where we get it done, and this is one that, again, that could move any time. I would hope simultaneously they'd be able to move it.
So you'd be okay with the House getting rid of the
I don't want to negotiate against myself on this, but I've made it clear early on, I think all of these things matter to drought and long-term climate or whatever, but my concern in the short run is those producers who are making decisions to try and get something, and then we should build on those further. But I understand how the legislative process works. You have to add things in to get some more votes, but again, we're really in this position where it was a bad precedence to come out of last legislative session, to promise to get that frontline worker done, and then to watch that get held up. And again, it's no secret to all of you, some of it was being held up because we were trying to make sure the health commissioner was dealing with the pandemic, and that became part of that discussion. So I think at some point, a little bit of a reset on how we do this, a recognition, again, I can't imagine in any other year, any other world, where our choice is to help these businesses to fulfill our promise to frontline workers and still have $7 billion to decide how we're going to invest or provide tax cuts or one-time payments. This should not be that difficult of a puzzle. And my guess is most Minnesotans are viewing it exactly that way. Just do a little of each, put it there, and then move on. So that's what we hope. That's what they're back doing. I think there is a good faith effort to try and do that. I think this continuously meeting this early is helpful. And I hope that these subject matter experts can break through a little bit.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thanks, Claire. I didn't get any of my bad jokes.